Michael and Sally, Jim Dry Cree, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Dunder Mifflin,
People Persons Paper Podcast.
Dunder Mifflin,
People Persons Paper Podcast.
Dunder Mifflin,
the People Persons Paper Podcast.
Time out.
Welcome to the People Persons Paper Podcast, the show where we are going episode by episode through every episode of the hit NBC sitcom The Office. My name is Hilton Price. With me every episode is Brian Sittler.
Buenos dias, El Hilton.
Buenos dias, El Brian. Brian O.
Brian O,
leader of the Thundercats.
You got it.
I hope listeners recognize that we are doing bad Spanish in honor of Michael's bad
Absolutely bad Spanish.
Yes.
To
join us in, honestly, you don't have to do any bad Spanish. Alyssa is back. Alyssa Steen, welcome back to the show.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Wow, good Spanish.
Actually, I don't think his Spanish is terrible.
It's not terrible. It's just slow.
He's just learning it.
He's learning it. You know what the real crime is, we missed the, and that was an extended scene, but in my head it was an extended scene where Aaron actually does try to answer her phone calls in Spanish.
Oh, really? Oh, God, I got to go back and watch that.
He's like, no, because he's like, no, solamente in Espanol. And then they cut it. But I could just see her be like,
I wonder if there's a super fan extended episode of that.
There might be.
Yeah.
But our buddy Josh isn't here to.
We'll get Josh on to comment here in a couple weeks.
Maybe a couple weeks later. Or maybe my lazy ass will watch it.
There you go.
Point.
Are you a Peacock guy? I forgot.
I Peacock.
You have the Peacock? What about. Do you guys do the Peacock, Alyssa?
Yeah, that's how I have to.
How you watch.
That's
okay.
How I watch.
I watched this episode on Peacock and not this. Not the super one.
No, I didn't watch the super fan because I figured. Unless I was told to watch there was a super fan.
Oh,
I did.
Bold of you to think I have any kind of like order and structure to the show.
Welcome to chaos.
Yeah.
I've been in chaos for a while, guys.
Right.
So lamente, super fan episode.
I always read about the extended scenes on the wiki.
On the Dunder.
On the Dunder wiki. And sure. I didn't see anything about that. But we can, they should have done that if they didn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is a fun episode. We are watching the 23rd episode of season 6, Body Language, today.
Boom.
And really, a lot of body language is on display. Like, that is not a creative title. This is an accurate title because, especially as we get into the Donna Michael stuff.
A lot of cringy body language.
Well, and just interesting moments. Like, there's a part where she's, like, kind of playing with her hair while Michael's doing his photo presentation.
Mm.
And that is a traditional sign of interest.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a sign of interest. Yes. Not always. It's not infallible. Yes. Sometimes you got shit in your hair. I mean, y'all, not me.
Or sometimes you just mess with your hair out of, like, anxiety.
Anxiety.
So it can mean multiple things.
I know it's like an autism, like, stemming thing as well.
Oh, okay. Right. But, so the key is not to assume.
Not to assume, but, Pam is kind of keeping that torch alive through this whole episode that maybe there's a chance Donna is into him.
She is, and she's doing it with plausible reasons.
Dude, so many.
Especially when I think about it, and I kind of calculate it through my back, like,
yeah,
this is the kind of person who would have taken off immediately as soon as he did several things.
Yeah, that's
like,
the thing.
He kept, and she's not just going to stay for a better printer discount.
Correct.
Right.
There are other companies that sell printers.
And as Pam most definitely put.
Probably better printers that don't catch fire.
And most printer sales are done over the phone boob shirt.
I will say, so on Happy Hour, we talked about how it's kind of all Jim's fault. Jim started this.
Yeah.
Pam continued it when Jim was trying to stop it.
Yeah, but Pam didn't continue it. Pam recognized it.
Yes.
Because Donna confirms she was there because she was interested.
She did.
She may have also needed printer. It's like Pam says, you can be interested and want to get a deal on a printer.
The office ladies went deep on this one.
Oh, yeah?
There's scientific studies done that show that female ladies, whatever have you.
Yeah.
They did studies and they showed that they have a higher sense of, they can recognize relationships, what people, how people are, or what they actually are thinking. They have a higher acuity to it than men do.
What you're saying is that Pam may have seen more than Jim and Oscar and others in the office.
And on top of that, especially from the studies, new mothers were one of the highest.
Oh yeah,
because they're so cued into their infants and their subtleties and their movements and all that, and they they said it was, that was part of it. So new mother Pam makes sense.
I mean, a baby has a different, every like baby has it. You have your sleepy cry. You have your upset cry. You have your upset stomach cry. You have your hungry cry. Like there's all different types voices. Of cries that babies do. Mm. And moms just innately understand which cry it is.
Right.
So there's almost like a kind of a higher level of understanding just basic elements of humanness.
Yes.
And that kind of makes sense with a new mother, you know? Yes. When are we at the most, and we, obviously you and I, not at all, Brian.
Well, it also says
as men, you know.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, one other thing they mentioned, gay men rated higher on the on their abilities to recognize.
I'm so sorry, I misspoke. So you, Brian.
Yeah, me. Yes, but I am a plebe.
Well, that's interesting too, because my assumption was it had something to do with the birth process, because it's a very, you know, for humans we live our lives like we are just, you know, very, you know, social, like, you know, we're not animals, we're people, you know, we're above all that. But
sure,
but birth is an example of a true animal thing. I mean, this is such a this one thing that ties us to the rest of the mammalian kingdom. You know,
regeneration,
the idea of live birth. You know, and. That's the thing that connects us to the Time Lords. Not regeneration.
Not reanimation, which we'll get to later.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I have so many thoughts about Dwight.
Dwight, this is great, Dwight. And I'm glad that you're getting me off of trying to wax philosophic about the human connection or whatever.
No, we don't have a clue.
We don't have a clue. I'm a simple man.
We're simple, yes.
Just call me an idiot on the show, Brian. That's fine. That's fine.
You the same with me.
I would call neither of you idiots.
Oh,
Mike is fine, Alyssa. So Dwight is... Dwight's on fire.
We learn a lot about Dwight in this episode.
Yeah. We kind of get to see him sort of desperate Dwight, which is he's not the cold calculating. He's trying to be, but he's not succeeding.
Well, and I love the moment at the end where he's like, can I not just once be a puppet master?
And no problem.
You really just laid it all out there.
He's that's telegraphed.
Right? It really is, but I don't often hear him say it to the camera. Like,
I mean,
it's true. He's kind of coming clean.
He doesn't often say it to the camera, but sometimes he says it to, like, Ryan.
Yes, that's true. That is absolutely true.
No, that is true.
There was almost like an Omarosa, like, I'm here to be the villain kind of quality about it. You know, not to.
Well, he had the diabolical plan.
Yeah,
he had the diabolical plan. He's definitely now Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
With the reanimation.
Almost certainly has cut somebody's face off. Probably not the CPR dummy.
No. Well, I got like an animal vibe off that. Like that's like part of how he skinned a pig.
That's part of his awesome. You know,
not organic family farming.
His disability.
His minority status.
One of his many minority status.
Oh yeah, what is it? Glasses genius. Wearers, genius, cholera survivor.
Yeah, that's a different thing. But or it is a traditional. Like Schrute family thing.
Oh yeah,
that we don't know about.
Well, it goes back.
Wait, we going back to the faces? To the cutting the faces?
Yes, yeah.
It goes back to the farming. You know, it's kind of like when he's talking.
I hope
about,
so. I mean, it's not about like child rearing, which would not surprise me with Dwight.
Dwight can put the best face on anything.
I
we'll take it off.
I really want to know when Dwight had cholera. That's really all.
It's probably from like age 4 to 25. Let's be honest. It's Dwight.
I'm cholera ignorant, so I don't know. I
know.
I'm still thinking about the faces.
I know I'm vaccinated against it. Right? Isn't that a vaccine we get as babies?
I trust my parents.
Yeah.
Implicitly.
Well, you know, and again, you know, all of us are old enough to get that we got our vaccines back when people just got the fucking vaccines.
That's when we were smart.
Not before that was a debate.
Oh, I'm going to say smart, just trusting.
Trusting.
Yeah, right.
Some others might say gullible. Fuck them. Yeah. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
I'll make one dumb COVID joke before we move on. Is there's a meme going around right now, and the idea is that like people were shunning the people who were anti-vax, and now they're all turning to them saying, "Why didn't you tell us?" No one is saying that.
Yeah, who's saying that?
No one is saying that. No.
I would love to hear the person who says that and then look at them in the face and be like, what are you talking about?
There's a lot of people that truly believe that there were a lot of ill effects to the vaccine and a lot of people got sick or died when it's these tiny, minuscule numbers. And right. And the best example was at the bottom of that joke, and then we will move the fuck on to the office. Mm-hmm. But was that – you guys remember during COVID when there were all those vaccine reaction wards? No, because they didn't exist. There were COVID wards everywhere, but no one was getting mass treatment for vaccine problems.
No, and I'm going to derail you just a little bit.
Please do. Name of the show.
It was not reactions to the vaccine. It's just reactions to long COVID.
Right. There's plenty of that. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
All it is.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. It's not vaccine
That's a really good
side
point.
Effects. It's just
these people that have long COVID. Oh, man. In 20 years, man, I can't wait to see. Once we've had a chance to look back and there's been studies, I can't
guarantee wait. There's memory problems.
It's hindsight.
Hell, it's memory problems here. Not for Dwight, though, who seems to have a good handle on all the members of the office as he continues.
He would seem to. He thinks he does.
Right.
He is an anomaly.
He miscalculated Kelly.
Wow.
And unfortunately for him, he got the episode. He tried this in the episode that's directed by Mindy Kaling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
First time director, by the way. Congratulations.
This was her first directing?
First directing.
Wow.
Technically first episode, but she had previously directed one of the shorts.
Okay. Yeah. Because they've had a couple seasons of shorts now.
And there's a connection.
Oh, thank God. I just realized what we're going to talk about. I
found
after
a connection
nine.
On the way over here. So there's a video of her. So her and Aaron.
Oh, I know you talking missed about.
That. Yeah. Her and Aaron formed a group called, what was it called?
Is it Sensual something?
Close. Subtle Sexuality.
Subtle Sexuality. Yeah.
And I was like, wow. This is, I mean, Michael wishes he was doing that. He's not doing that
but
at all. But that's what he's trying to do.
No, the giant word sex in the middle of his photo presentation.
Even before that.
Of course.
It wasn't subtle.
Yeah. What is it? The bold, beautiful blacks. Topless random black dude on the screen. Like, handsome fella, but didn't really belong there. And then... icon of the late 70s and early 80s, Tom Selleck, Magnum PI.
Something sexy.
The only man that can wear a mustache better than mine.
He did date Monica and Friends.
He did. He did.
That's true.
He also dated American legend Candace Bergen on Boston Legal.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
So there's something there for him. It's probably the mustache.
Yeah, we both saw Selleck. The mustache gets longer, the shorts get shorter. That's how that works.
I was typing something in. Did we mention the big sex that's shown on the screen?
I did a minute ago.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I missed
that's
that
such
line.
A great moment. And I love Donna's reaction, where she does kind of like a, did I see that head shake kind of thing?
See, she would have been out way before then.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
It
would have been the moment where she's like, I don't think I need a printer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
If she wasn't interested, that's the moment.
And she's not averse to stupidity after he shows her the place that he goes, or his solo
where he likes
to be alone and has never taken anyone there, supposedly, except Ryan.
Yep. Who took that picture? Ryan. And then they just move on.
She's not averse to stupidity because he was literally so stupid when they met.
Not versus stupidity, because she's still talking to his ass.
Knowing what we know about this story, where it goes, it's starting to make more sense why she's staying and what she's doing.
Oh, I have written down, she knows a mark when she sees one, and she will exploit it.
But I think
a mark for an affair, obviously.
Yeah,
love affair.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's an interesting, because Mark often suggests that the only value of the person is to be taken advantage of. And I think this, you're right, but I think it's also what Pam said. It's take advantage of a mark and think this mid 40s, dark haired, bright green eyed fella is also attractive.
She's still attracted to him.
Yes, exactly.
That is a fact.
Let's clarify the color of his eyes. Oh. Shrek green eyes.
Shrek green
is probably honestly the funniest minor thick line in this whole episode.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, besides the reanimating a bull line.
Right.
Yeah,
but I expect that from Dwight.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's very on
brand. I did not expect Michael to say Shrek green eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the best hijack. Well, no, not the best, I should say, but it's a hell of a hijacking of a sales pitch.
Yeah.
And we don't really get to see the full power of the Wonder Twins, Jim and Pam's sales.
Which I kind of love dumb joke Pam.
You like Vaudevillian Pam?
Yeah.
It harkens goes back to Charlie Chaplin van camp.
Yeah, yes, it really does.
It does. I like Jim's exasperation.
Yeah, I know who you are,
but he's so entertained by it.
Entertaining.
It's such a great little bit. This is you. I could have ridden Jim and Pam go through some weird shit in 8 and 9. I could have ridden this nonsense out for 2 more seasons. just dumb, quirky couples moments of being dorks and dumb with each other, you know?
No, they could have done some more.
Yeah, give me more of that.
I mean, I like the repartee where they're still debating, like, what we were just talking about, how you can still like someone and
yeah,
want to get, but then she's like, why'd you think what do you think I was doing? Or why did we work out?
Yeah, like I kept coming by your desk
15 times a day. That was after your money.
Yeah.
And jokes on you.
Was such a great back and forth. I could have done two seasons of that.
Literally, when I first got into news, Hilton, my now husband said, I'm just in it for the, jokingly, I'm in it for the money. I'm like, well, that's really funny. Right. I make nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
Well, and you know, a lot of us in relationships, especially when we're younger and before we get into our careers, when we probably don't have any money, we get to say stuff like that because, listen, dating and relationships is this whole weird. The idea that two random humans are going to be together, that's just weird on paper. So
totally
like
weird.
Right. So, I mean, let's mine that for fun. I want to see an arc where Jim randomly gets into trains for 2 months. You know, where's the Pam accidentally gets sucked into doing Avon for a year? You know, where or Jim? That's sounded a little more gender conforming than it needed to be.
Definitely, that's not excellent storytelling from a narrative arc perspective.
It's not conflict laden.
Yeah, and you need an element of conflict if you're going to continue to develop the characters. So I understand
why. I think a month-long train habit is a pretty exciting development. That might just be because I'm a train guy. I'm not.
Multiple avenues they could have explored.
Tracks! Tracks! Forget avenues! Tracks!
Thank you. Cleaned it up.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Alyssa, in that it doesn't have the boldness of an A-line story, you know?
Yeah.
And it would have relegated your stars to the BHC line stories.
Yes,
forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And you with this kind of show, you can't do that. Jim and Pam are the heart of, well, Michael's kind of the heart of the show, but Jim and Pam are like the soul.
They kind of have to, but they do as a couple, they clear them out from, you know, from season 4 onward until season 9. They kind of because they have to let in the Dwight and Angela story. We have to develop that. We have to develop Andy and Aaron in this convoluted thing. And what the hell is Michael going
to
do?
But I feel like we had a changing focus for where the show was going after Pam and Jim marry. And it got worse so once Michael left. And it led to some of the stumbling blocks that we talk about week after week on the show about the struggles of late 7, of 8, and of 9. And hell, of 6! What are the problems in this season?
Honestly, I am one of the few who's like a season 9 apologist.
I like it too.
I like it. Yeah.
I like the realness of the relationship issues.
I like that
you're talking about Brian the Mike guy. Brian the Mike guy.
I like that they went for it to bring some conflict into everybody's.
But you can't get there if you're just doing the jokey stuff for multiple seasons.
Right. And you are running risk. And that was felt definitely when things got tense.
I will agree that the introduction of the boom mic guy story, 100%, you're talking about a real thing. You know, this happens where people get close to someone in another environment and it threatens their
multiple
relationship,
years.
Right. Yeah. You know,
it's plausible.
Yeah. But I think they weren't sure where to go with it.
That probably came from actual stories from reality shows.
Of course.
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's come from real stories from my own life, for God's sake. Not even situations like that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So exactly. That shit happens, man.
It does.
You know, for better or worse. But I think the problem they got into is 99% of those situations went very messy. Mm. And this resolved itself with a long hug. You know? And part of that was Krasinski refused to. Oh no, that was the Kathy storyline where he refused to cheat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know,
well, that was one of them.
But our cast was very protective of the characters they played.
Absolutely.
And our writers, I'm sure, were very concerned about accidentally losing the audience after having built this goodwill for many seasons.
Yeah. Well, I think the original idea was they were not going to get back together.
Really?
I read that several places.
For Boom Mike.
At the very end of the season or very end of the series.
Yeah.
Like they weren't going to.
Like post. Working in Philly.
Yes.
Yep. Like being part-time at Dunder Mifflin.
At Athlete.
Yep.
20 years ago, I might have said that ending a beloved couple on divorce was a non-scooter.
Right.
You can't kill that.
Right.
In the last few years, I know several people who are still very close with ex-wives or husbands, either through a very positive and quality what is it, shared child rearing, co-parenting. Mm-hmm. Co-parenting mm-hmm. is what they call it now. Mm-hmm. Or in other cases where they just found that being friends was what they really wanted.
Right.
And I don't know that that is a maturity that would have been as commonplace 20, 30 years ago.
Well, but even 10 years ago, right. Because this show ended in like, what, 2013?
You're right. But I think now you could have explored that story a little more realistically.
Yeah. I think it wouldn't have been as jarring.
As jarring. As is doing a ton of lifting.
When you have that much emotional connection as people do for that couple.
It's tough.
It's going to
It would still break our hearts.
It still would. But people.
That's not how they would want to have ended their story.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. But it's the writers. I mean, it's the creators. It's up to them ultimately. So I'm glad they did what they did.
Yeah.
From a sentimental
I love that
standpoint.
Law. It's a dumb resolution, but I love that law.
We're not going to talk. We're just going to hug.
I don't know.
Sometimes you just need.
You do.
You just need the hug. You don't need to talk. You just need the hug. And that was probably just a moment.
And, you know, that is also connection. A very real thing, that physical connection sometimes for couples gets lost. There's too much of the just sitting next to each other, and there's too much of the sitting across from each other, and not enough of the, a hug is intimacy, and that's very important for couples.
Yeah. Hey, any couple that wants to work together and live together for that many years, I mean, the success rate is, I'm guessing here, but it's probably not great.
Probably 50-50, you think?
Actively living that.
Right. Sure. Oh, sure. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. See? As a working in a couple. Yeah.
And God bless you. I mean, that's for a lot of people.
It doesn't work for everybody.
No, and it doesn't.
It has to be a very specific type of couple who can talk and communicate well.
Absolutely.
And
and even
set
many
boundaries.
Right.
And even many couples that are in that position still have to face challenges along the path.
But that heightens the communication importance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So
well, I also just like, we work together. Me and my husband work together. We live together. I innately kind of have an understanding of some of the complexities of that.
Yeah. 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 And you're actually a really great guest to have on this week. Much better than the three single guys that our usual makeup is.
Some of our perspective does not quite cover. Yeah, certain things.
Single Person Paper Podcast, where two men and their guests just guess the fuck out of how life works, you know?
I would like to note, Michael does mention that he is in a torrid love affair, or he just has a love affair before he's actually in the love affair, and then it actually turns into a love affair, so he just forecasted that.
I had to double check, because when he said that early on, he says it in the talking head early on, and I admit that I'd kind of forgotten where along it was, and I was like, wait, are they yet?
Right.
And I was like, no.
I had that moment too.
No, fool, the denouement on this is her kissing him.
Right. And then I went there.
This episode is the most season one Michael has been in a while.
Wow.
I'm kind of with you.
I love
with
that.
Just how awkwardly close he is, how presumptive he is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way he's talking at the start, it kind of explains his actions in this episode and how cringy
there.
He's already there. That's why he's leaning in front of at work. I don't know if he knows people are watching him, but they are. And that's why that's how he got to the mindset to eat the freaking mint out of her hand.
Oh, it's so bad.
Which is, for me, you can talk about Scott's Tots and dinner party all you fucking want. That was hard.
The idea of putting my mouth on someone who I do not know has given me explicit permission is
insane
to me.
Also, you don't know what they've touched.
I was a little...
Post pandemic, indeed. Yeah.
We're recording this in the morning. I am a little disappointed at how small the proximity was of when I brushed my teeth as to when my guests came by to record today. Never mind eating a mint out of someone's hand. A woman, does he know her last name, for God's sake?
No,
he does. Donna Newton.
I didn't know her last name until this episode.
I had to
write
it down to remember it. But he does. I think he mentions it specifically. This is, I think, after he asks if this is the hooker.
It occurred to me today. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's
another
what he leads
one.
Off with.
That is another. You do not make that level of joke unless you know that person very well.
I mean, they lay it out right there. He calls her a hooker. She gives him a hug.
Yeah.
That embodies all of this.
No, they in her talking head later, though, she says that, which is a little bit after that.
She gets a talking head.
She gets a talking head. Well, I feel like fucking owe her one.
She was definitely. Yeah, the camera crew's like, whoa, you think she'll do it? No, wait. Yeah. Well, she's okay. And then, she's in her late 20s.
Oh, absolutely.
That's adorable. That's adorable.
Not in my so late 20s.
It was so humanizing, though.
Me neither.
That told me so much about her. I was like, she's a really good person. She's being incredibly patient. She clearly has a lot of experience in the industry she works in. Aw, how cute. She really wants to be younger like all of us, you know?
So does Daryl.
Right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. There's something neat about that, about the idea that, like, he's like, I'm about to fuck up these knees.
I understand that. I get it.
Are you an athlete? I mean, do you
know with the competitive knees?
Competitive dance. Okay. And, nice. Like, I am not as limber as I used to be. And I'm like, we try to get as many, like, active hikes in while we still can.
Yeah.
You know, carpe diem with those knees.
So,
yeah, that's like a really good point. Knees. Yeah. Well, and, you know, as I sit here, you know, I've been recording a couple weeks now with broken hand.
Yeah.
And that's something, too. This is one of the first times I've broken a bone. And it's probably just that I have lived a sheltered, nerfy little life. Mm-hmm. But largely, it's also that
maybe I'm old and brittle now.
No, I think it's because you've been an indoor boy for so long.
That's my nerfy little life.
Yeah. Tenderfoot.
Sea monster would mock me in and out, in and out.
Absolutely.
Video game boy for a very long time.
They're so fun. They're so fun.
I totally disagree.
Was it worth it? It was.
It was worth 100%. 100%.
So much. In fact, you know what? I'm canceling the rest of my day. Gaming all day. One-handed gaming all day. So here's
recovery right now.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's
absolutely. That's it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny because you talk about dance and the physicality of things. As a gamer, reaction time is something we talk about where, you know, a lot of us don't play as fast and as precise as we used to. And not me, of course, I'm top of my game, but, you know,
even with one hand,
even better with one hand.
We're not our 8 or 9 year old selves anymore.
Exactly.
We're clocked in, man. Yeah. Like we had it down in our minds.
We have
and
problems to think about while we're playing games now.
That's another thing too, is of course the time to learn and get good at these games. And now, you know, according to those online folks, getting good is part of it. They want that. Also, they've all fucked my mom. That's so weird.
This is the corner of the internet that I don't care.
But it's probably too far. A lot of our viewers are like, this is about a paper company?
That's about The Office.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about video games?
Oh, agreed. Got to talk about the
one. I have a
absolutely. Wait, please do.
Fun
please
little
do.
Side note.
Yeah.
Back to Espanol real quick. This podcast in Spanish is pronounced Podcast de Papel de la Persona de la Gente.
She taught me that before we started recording.
Also, is Oscar actively teaching everybody Spanish? Why is everybody speaking not terrible Spanish?
Except for Michael. Oh, well, no, Michael, I don't know that either.
He just literally can't get the gender.
He can't get the genders down. The boobs and the penises aren't
He
helping.
Cannot get the gender language down. He clearly understands gender.
Well, yes,
you know, it's 10 years ago, definition. Yeah.
Yeah. But as the Office ladies actually, they did a deep dive on Jim's Spanish, which is very great. But he did use an incorrect, he says, yo soy fantástico, which is the incorrect version. You wouldn't say soy, you would say, because if you say that, you're saying, I am awesome. Like that would be like,
describing your skill,
who you are.
Yeah.
You would say "estoy fantástico," that's how you feel.
Yep, you're right. Right. You're right.
Which I had completely forgotten from college and high school Spanish.
He totally used Google Translate.
Well, frankly, so. And it is a very simple sentence.
The way
he recites it makes it sound much more complicated than what Michael was saying, but it really isn't that much more complicated.
It's just because he's speaking it.
And he's throwing a little bit of an accent in, which you could do like 10 years ago. Like,
I mean, I did it with Como Esta.
You gotta try.
I had a little bit of a shift. But it's just how you
That's just the way Spanish sounds. I'm probably incorrect here using the word accent at all. Yeah. It's really just more like an inflection.
It is how... If you're going to speak Spanish and speak it like fluently, it kind of just rolls.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. Much like this is a podcast where a single man gives dating advice. Someone with no study of etymology is giving, talking about language. So.
Well, don't worry. I mean, we're all going to be speaking a German
Chinese hybrid
eventually.
Yeah.
Right. So don't worry about it.
Hey, if Serenity and Firefly is right,
honestly,
he's halfway there.
I was thinking, well, did you think about Firefly? Been watching Firefly?
Yeah.
Because did you ever watch Firefly?
I have. I've seen a couple episodes.
And they do say that a lot of the slang and stuff is a Chinese-English hybrid.
Interesting. I need to go back
and there's a lot of Chinese language in that, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's a great example of a world-building thing where they don't really clearly say it to you. They just kind of show it to you and hope you figure it out. But yeah, I thought the same thing. And I love that, of course, Dwight is going German. Like, that's in his DNA, literally, you know?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Do want to know how much German he actually knows and if he is fluent in German or if he's just, like, knows phrases.
Do you mean Dwight or Rain?
Both.
Yes.
Yes. I say yes on both.
I kind of feel like Dwight would learn the damn language, obviously.
He would learn multiple if he could.
Would Rain learn enough? How much would Rain learn for this?
I think he's willing to commit.
He's pretty committed.
We know Rain is a commit to the bad guy. I mean, you can't be flopping around in your undies on that couch and not be.
Yeah.
But that's a lot easier in terms of time commitment than like mastering German.
Unless he already had some German language knowledge.
Let's you know what? While we're talking, I'm going to Google, does Rain Wilson... Oh my God, it's totally there. It filled it in. Does Rain Wilson speak German?
It's listening to you, Hilton. What are you talking about?
Of course it is. Mr. Zuckerberg, tear down that wall.
My eye is the elephant in the room here.
I don't know. Does he speak German? How good is Dwight's German?
Dwight's Rain's. Come on, Google.
Yes. I'm so sorry.
White Google. Man. Am I right?
Yeah, it's really, it's very funny. These results are pulling up a ton of Dwight facts. You know.
So it's unknown.
We're working on it.
I just love Dwight's his faux hate, or not hate, but just exasperation with white people in this episode.
Yeah, the white people. Am I right?
Caucasians.
He is actually Caucasian.
By the letter of the term.
Brown. But he's Caucasian.
Because Dwight's thing about Indians in the Caucasus region, that's just a fact, right?
It actually is.
Yeah,
but it's misinterpreted for what he's actually what Dave is doing.
Yeah,
but
that to me, like feels like when people get in their panties in a bunch about the whole like you can't be racist to white people thing.
Yeah,
like. The way we use the term racist kind of got twisted along the way. Sure. And like. Sure. Commingled with just the word prejudice, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's all tangled up.
And this is kind of the same thing where Caucasian, when we're talking about like skin color and societal stuff versus Caucasian, when you're talking about like bone structure and diaspora of anthropological peoples, right? Like that's different.
Sound and yes, it is.
Yeah, like that's
where does how someone sounds on the telephone fall in that?
Like, oh boy.
She was probably white.
Well, and you know what I love about that is you think about how many of these call centers that are international train their staff, you know, to put on your best John Smith voice. A lot of times it doesn't. But I've heard of the ones that are like, I'm like, okay, I can tell you're not like a white dude from America, but you're doing your damnedest.
You're trying.
All of this is why we need a minority training program.
Exactly.
Oh, you mean like a print in all colors, if you will.
Yes. That is actually an excellent name for a minority training program.
It's fun. I think they lifted it off maybe multiple corporations. That sounds just way too on the nose.
If they didn't, if that came up in a writer's room, I hope they took themselves out to dinner.
Oh, sure.
That is a hug afterwards, right?
This was either a Mindy Kaling.
Yeah.
Or a BJ Novak poll.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's great.
It could.
Man.
Yeah.
Which
Twitter. Let's tweet these guys this week and ask them all these questions. Rain, how's your German? Mindy, who came up with print in all colors?
Really hope it was her.
Yeah. You know what? Here, 6.5 years, seasons in. We're gonna get good on this podcast.
And it's not Twitter anymore, it's X. So
I
am legitimately canceling you.
I will.
Don't shoot.
You
come into my house.
I hate Elon Musk.
It's formerly.
You come into my paper company.
I do want to note that Kelly and Ryan have joined the ranks with Phyllis of Mean Girls.
Oh, they have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Online bullying. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they are.
That feels like it's always been in Kelly's wheelhouse.
Yes,
there's
it's
a
like,
juvenileness to that.
It's like. True. Together with Ryan, I'm like, okay, so we've got Regina, Karen, and Gretchen just fully in this office.
Yeah. Theaters later this year, by the way.
So is Lord of the Rings Extended.
Oh, I'm going to the first two. You going to go?
Oh, we're going to go with all of them.
Okay, cool. We got to talk. So the
also the mummy.
It, where though?
Don't.
Okay, we
okay.
This is a show about The Office.
It is, and we're thinking, and we're trying, and we're talking about maybe the most improbable comeback in corporate history. One Ryan Howard becoming manager, just because.
Oh yeah,
his concubine, if you will, I don't know, is going to put him in power.
Dwight knew.
Poor abuse victim of a girlfriend.
Yeah. Dwight knew he made his mistake in that moment.
Oh yeah,
he did.
Yep. He thought she was, what do you call her, a malleable simpleton. And there are elements of truth to that.
That's on Ryan's behalf, not on Roy's
behalf.
Yeah,
he's forgetting that she's got interests. You know,
he doesn't care.
Yeah, well, she should have. What are you saying?
He should have been reminded of her previous semi. It was pretty devious when she was giving false reports to their clients about his conduct and affecting their bonuses.
Yeah.
White, do not cross this lady.
White thinks he's the smartest in every room.
Yes. Genius, remember.
Yeah.
A minority in that role, you know?
He thinks he's the ultimate minority.
Yeah.
By the way, in that scene, on a wonderful catch after 50, how many times I've seen this, as soon as Gabe shoots down Dwight's ideas, you get to see Daryl's face when he just does the... Too bad. Not really kind of minority we're looking at. He's like,
I love Daryl as a straight man. It's so funny.
Yeah, he really is.
Because it's like it's much more intentional than Jim as a straight man, I think, or like funnier than Jim, because Jim just like stares at the camera. Daryl makes
faces.
He's
all pat at it. Yes.
Yeah. I think Daryl's a little more put together in his look. Jim looks like the slacker, so there's something about him that still kind of comes off as silly.
Yeah.
You know, Daryl, you know, he never comes off like a slacker, you know, or like he's not serious.
But yet, this decision he makes in this episode is going to be a detriment to him later on when he tries to be manager. And
yeah,
it's not because he didn't commit to the program.
Yeah.
And Joe ain't going to like that.
That's true.
And so.
I mean, did he care about his knees?
Hey, damn. Go with the knees. Use them while you got them.
Well, and that's a Joe shortcoming. And that's the thing is,
maybe
it's,
so. Yeah.
It's easy for me to forget that the show does aim to show flaws in everyone.
True.
Some
it's
are
not so
far
black
more
and white.
Pronounced
absolutely.
Than others.
Yeah, like bullying online.
Yeah, right. But the
like
causing a girl to be anorexic.
Like trying to reanimate so a bull.
Yeah.
Trying what?
Reanimate a bull.
I make sure we say it. White shines this episode.
He's excellent.
This is a great episode.
He shines just about every episode, though.
It's such a great plot. It's so fun.
It's a great... He counterbalances all the horrible cringe that we have to deal with on the other side of this episode.
He's the payoff for the cringe.
His storyline definitely gives us some relief and some funny, you know, even if it's like they're trying to make, you know, this is the beginning of business, bitch.
Yeah.
For Kelly Kapoor.
Yep.
This is on her journey to that end.
Yeah.
And but still, so even there's some menace there, but it's all in fun and games, as we know now.
I mean, ultimately, he should have listened to Oscar and Stan Lee when they're like, we're not going up against Kelly.
Yep.
You know what?
Kelly's ruthless.
You know where he really shines? Bring it back, Hide.
Yes.
Yes. And his steady hand.
Damn. So good. Why is the exact same joke that much funnier?
Because it's the exact same joke repeated in a different setting.
Because they took that.
He needed a translator, according to Light.
I love that.
You don't know what you need.
I love that shit so much.
They took the denouement off our last awesome episode, and they inserted it back in here.
And that was the hour too, right? Like,
yes,
that felt so good. So I was like, yes, right, Alyssa, yes!
Yes.
Perfect.
I have the return of Hide and his steady hands written down.
Well,
so it's excellent.
God bless the man. Like, although, I got to say, long-term Dwight, at the thought, because of the Yakuza,
yeah.
He actually might have averted disaster by not allying himself too much with Hide, because the Yakuza is coming after Hide.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
This thing comes out.
You got to say, is this the first mention of the Scranton Strangler?
No.
No.
Okay.
It is not.
Certainly not.
Because Dwight had previously talked to, when he's talking to Isabel. at happy hour?
Just yeah, happy hour.
When
yeah.
he's explaining how he's going to take down the Scranton Strangler. I think this is the third mention. I can't remember the first one.
Because I was surprised.
We're getting close to a lot more mentions of this Grand Strangler, I want to say.
We are.
Well, what caught my ear about it was I was on one of the Office subreddits, and they had mentioned, someone had claimed that the Scranton Strangler storyline didn't start, and I tried to find it today to confirm, but either in like 6 or 7. And I was at first very surprised by that, but then you just kind of remember that it's not because it was that late in the show. It's just that there's that much that happens in this show.
Yeah,
I remember the first one.
Fantastic.
It's when Cece arrives and our boy Andy wants to commemorate
that's the Scranton Strangler strikes again.
Yes.
Headline or whatever.
Yeah. Thanks, baby Halpert. Mm-hmm. That was the first mention, I believe. Of
that's logical too, because that is a that kind of like wrong headline joke. That feels to me like, I don't know if it's true, but that feels to me like an old joke. Like,
sure.
Like the kind of the bait and switch of that headline.
Right.
Of a headline. It's a Dewey wins kind of situation,
yeah.
You know,
sure.
with FDR, you know.
You mentioned Cece. Angela's so mean
about what
this baby looks like.
So mean, but
that's the only thing that
becomes out a monster.
That's her size. That Pam face after that is the only time she really kind of like is like, what the fuck in this episode?
Well, and you say size, but just to call it out,
true.
This is an incest joke, right?
She's
trying to suggest,
Donna's her sixth sense about things,
but also that the baby has got some kind of problem.
You feel okay?
I'm not. A problem because of their relation, procreation.
Yes. Chromosomes and all that.
We have a problem. So that's Angela.
That's problematic. She went there.
Angela would go there, though. Angela would be the one character besides Dwight who would go there.
To kind of backhandedly, like, say just some really cruel shit about a baby.
She really is. And she's not even the one that had. Neither of them put that post-it note on her head with boobs on it. But she's just, she's Angela.
It's all the funnier when you think about how.
Angelo.
It's all the funnier when you think about how good of friends they actually are in real life.
Yeah.
And it's just dig after dig.
It's true.
Yeah, that's why,
That had to be fun.
Oh, by the way, we really can't. Let's not give. Back to the start for 1 second. I'm not giving props to Michael because he doesn't give a shit about this being a healing moment. Us all learning Spanish. He's just going to Cancun.
I also love
no soy Cancun.
Were we that conflicted with Mexico 15 years ago or whatever this was? Like
we've always been. Way or another. But
it's always been more nonsense.
It's always been immigration issues.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
there's certain issues that they've always been there.
It just feels like it's been so heated the last like 5 years that I'm like, really?
Although I don't think he was wrong when he says that he thinks everybody should know how to speak Spanish.
No. All the babies, like growing up, young people I know of my friends, a lot of them are learning Spanish. Like it's a requisite, like they have to learn it early on now. So
it's easier to learn it early on.
I think it's just smart.
That's why.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
we missed out.
Here, let's talk about immigrant. No, it's not.
We're going to hit all the controversial topics as we can today.
Little voice in my head went, don't do that. Don't do that. All right.
I will say I had to, it was very, speaking of subtlety, they are. I had to watch this or read the wiki to realize. Oh, by the way. Oh, yeah. He's really just talking about Cancun.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. Because he's talking. I'm like, you know what? Maybe it would be. Like I got caught up in that, and then maybe I was just. And then maybe just all the boobs and penises blurred out.
Here's what it is.
I don't know what happened. So I didn't think about it.
I think the Spanish beginning is their fake Michael redemption. Mm. And then I immediately pull it back.
Right. It's very much like a look, he's growing. Same old Michael.
Like, oh, no.
In fact, strap in, kids. It's gotten a lot worse for 22 minutes.
Just people in Cancun.
How do you feel about mouths on hands?
Just people in Cancun don't speak English.
Like at all? Oh, they do. That's what you're saying. They do, yeah. Because
You have to learn so much Spanish. Yeah. You got to go to Cancun, especially of all places in Mexico. Yeah.
Also, he's probably going to Sandals again, or like some little tiny like where
Sandals Cancun, not Sandals Jamaica.
Right? Yeah, some literal fucking.
He's spreading his wings. He's broadening his horizons to Cancun. Good for him.
For a guy that apparently doesn't make a ton of money, sure gets to international travel a lot.
He does. You know, good for him.
He's spending his money right, I guess.
Maybe he bought a timeshare.
You probably would have. No, but hey, there was a really good presentation. There was free pizza.
Yeah. Presenting was really pretty.
That's true.
It was going really well until he ate the mint off her hands.
Speaking of Dwight, I do like his dated Ted Turner reference. Even back then, talking about multimillionaire CEOs and Bill Gates. Hey, you know,
But Kelly just wants to be the Indian Julia Roberts.
I love that she just goes other famous person, and obviously a beautiful model or a beautiful actress, excuse me. And then,
who is also, let's bring this back, played a hooker.
Yeah.
Good connection. Like,
you know, so many actors and actresses get into other businesses, become, you know, restaurateurs or start their own companies. Is she very well might be the CEO of some shit.
No, Mindy Kaling is a CEO. She actually
I meant Julie Roberts.
I was going to think that too.
But Mindy probably too, right?
Oh, yeah. They're both. They both have high power. I mean,
and they're executive producers, right. Which, you know,
whatever high powered title at them that you want. Yeah. I mean, they're in the neighborhood.
Margot Robbie owns her own production company and she produced Barbie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. So, and I mean, you know, a lot of things.
Good, by the way. Did you see that yet?
I haven't yet.
It's funny. It's very silly sometimes, but super fun.
Yeah.
It's also it's good. I recommend it for just about anybody.
Yeah. No, I need to see it. I hear Ryan Gosling is.
Oh, he's too. I love him.
I do like him.
He looks dumb as the new one, he's in Fall Guy.
Is that that's the one he's in?
Hold on, I might be down for it.
Well, really? What is it? Action or
he's a stuntman.
Stuntman.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Ends up having to live a real life of
which
scary
is funny
violence.
Because we I just like watched Drive.
Oh yeah.
I watched Drive for the first time and he's like a stunt driver.
Yeah.
In Drive.
I have seen that.
Okay.
But once, so I don't remember much.
I fell asleep.
Very good. Oh
it's slow.
It's a lot of quiet moments, punctuated by a lot of driving moments. It was good to see in the theater because it's so loud, it'll keep you awake.
Okay.
But doesn't always work out if you're not in the theater, I guess.
No,
perhaps.
No, it does not.
But watch the Big Short, though. He's amazing in that.
Yes, okay. He is.
Yeah.
What we're saying, listeners, is if you're done watching The Office, go to the movies.
You like Lord of the Rings.
See Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Go see Spider-Man's are all in. You know, we should not say any of this because I have no clue when this episode's coming out. These poor folks are Googling stuff and they're like, you sons of bitches.
Are we leading you astray?
I may have to just get everything out in the next 3 days or something.
Maybe not.
Go ahead. No, please.
I had another sort of subtle, back to subtlety. This reminded me. So once again, so in our previous episode, it was a very heart-wrenching moment for our man Andy, who who's on a break now with Aaron after their the drama that was Secretary's Day
after the kind of info dump that she received that poor day.
Absolutely, and but there's no real mention of that in this episode. That
there's a lot of Andy.
There's even less of Aaron.
Yeah.
There's even less of Aaron because she's kind of just floating. She has the funny scene behind Dwight when he's trying to like get Oscar and Stanley. She's too involved.
She's excited for them.
Right.
For
innocent them. And sweet.
I love that.
I love her pale face. She's awesome. then at the very end, we actually get her. She mocks Dwight.
Oh yeah.
She's like, I can't remember exactly what he says, but she kind of goes like,
oh,
and we actually get a mocking Aaron moment, but there is no awkwardness. But they, her and Andy, just stay away from
is
each other.
Start of her and Gabe is this like
not
the precursor?
Yet. Not yet. It's that happens. That's a reveal in I believe season seven.
We're close.
It is. It's close, coming up. It doesn't happen this.
It's like the one with the horse, the seahorse stuff. It's right around that area.
Because Gabe is the least creepy in this episode, I think, than he is.
Because he's literally someone the rest like he's
corporate guy.
Yeah, he's practically a set.
Yeah,
like he's just there to like be the ones that Dwight and all of our the half the cast are playing off of.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You know, well, Kelly gets to play off of him with her, you know, all of a sudden she has a god on her head.
Good scene.
And her deflection of being offended.
Oh, you're right. But that line read is so straight from him.
Yeah.
There's no weirdness. But I guess that joke only works if he plays it straight HR
guy.
Yeah. Straight HR.
And then she can just take advantage of it.
So ultimately, good. Of this episode, is Gabe the straight man?
Yeah.
Because when Dwight brings in our man Hiday, Gabe just goes right with it. He says, "Oh, Hiday, tell me about your background."
Yeah.
After Kelly turns up, I mean, we're kind of going into absurdity, even though
Gabe's a prop in this episode.
He's absolutely a prop.
Yeah.
But he's good at being kind of a prop.
Need that.
Good for you, Zach Woods.
He's going.
Hey, man.
TikTok stuff is really funny.
Is it?
Right now, yeah.
Oh, no. Cool. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. I follow him a little bit on Instagram.
He plays it super straight on. I'll show you after this.
All right.
Okay. I loved learning later on that he's such kind of an improv guy, and everybody just think Jenna and Angela were talking about, you know, how funny he is, and I'm like, oh wow, I had no idea.
You get more of that in like later seasons and then other shows entirely.
I like that they went from, you know, he's pretty straight now, and then he goes kind of the Jan route of being Unhinged. In his own kind of way.
Yeah.
But worse.
But almost. Speaking of cringy, we'll get there.
I really do love it. They are hard characters to watch. I think they were not maybe done as well as they could have been. But I really feel like Gabe and to a lesser extent Clark really both get a chance to play some really kind of bad guys in real life.
Yeah.
Like characters who are not, but are real and are unfortunately enough out there that you can kind of, there's a universality to telling their story, not from their perspective. I don't mean to humanize, but just that they exist. And I think maybe that need to humanize in storytelling, you know, in drama is maybe why it's been a difficult one for the show to get into and why it wasn't done a lot is because there is an interest in, you know, I like a lot of Clark scenes. Mm. I'm a little concerned about a lot of Clark scenes.
Sure. Michael is not quite on their level of like concern,
but he sets the template.
But he's especially more palatable.
Yeah,
episodes like this, and we know more about him, or like we've seen five, six seasons of him. So it's, you know, the stuff that
there's a clear lack of malice to Michael.
That is,
I believe, meant in those other two characters, but is not as clear.
Correct.
Well, it's a little blurrier, and because of that, it's not as relatable.
Well, he even says it when Pam, you know, is trying to console him after Donna finally fucking leaves, after lingering like way too long. But he was like, you know, I don't trust my feelings, or I don't trust myself really right now. And so he has
to be very vulnerable.
That's
for him
pretty
to say.
Vulnerable, and he's being genuine, and you know, he's.
Until the Brett shows up.
I forgot about that line. That's a great line.
The baguette. Oh, yeah. The baguette.
He says Barrett before, by the way.
Yeah.
And then but in the heat of the moment, he gets to say,
you know, that's interesting to me because that line always read a little false to me, but then I'm just like, no, that does fit. I've always just kind of been like,
which one he says baguette?
Baguette, you know?
It's just so giddy just
either stumbles
or just like, this is the word.
Or maybe it's our first sign of what we learn in season seven, where there's a little bit of theatricality to Michael more than he lets on, you know, that he is playing us a little bit.
Well, he was almost in Andy's play.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Did very loudly boo.
As he should.
Oh, did he?
Guy. He does good work though. is my plumber. Is that what it was?
Yes. I think it was a plumber.
He was Daryl's plumber. Nice guy.
So, but you know, and it's funny that we got into little Clark and Gabe because we almost get too far, Michael, here.
Oh, yeah. God,
when she's leaving the office, the stuff when she's pushing up against the blinds,
so awkwardly close to her, and it's so bad.
I'm glad they kind of cut that off. You just get to see a sliver through the door.
Uh huh.
Even then, it's still like,
it's bad.
Stop it. Nah. This is the stuff I
saw
like.
A moment in her eyes where she's like, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not this one.
He pushed it to the line.
It makes me wonder if, like, even as an actor, if there's certain amounts of our real kind of fight or flight that come out in those moments. Because if I was, even as an actor, if someone's kind of doing it, I would be very uncomfortable. Right. You know, I can't imagine that was a fun scene.
You would imagine,
I'm sure Steve did his best to make it light.
You would imagine that Steve Carell was like, I'm going to get really close to you.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure those guys, there's a lot of talk about like that.
unimpeachable from what I've heard everyone talking about him. And
if we're talking about people, also, if we want to talk about people getting too close to films, let's things get a little too far.
Yeah.
Too often.
We have a backstory on Phyllis, the Jim's.
Is it Jim?
Yeah, okay. Right yeah. next to her.
Yep, oh, yep, yep, yep. Yeah, that's great.
Sometimes she does, sometimes, wait, doesn't.
It's the men that flirt with her right. and then.
Doesn't go too far.
She doesn't let it get too far sometimes. Most times.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Well, I think that's it goes back little... to happy hour where she likes to flirt with the men so that yes. Bob will beat them up.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, man, I'm just gonna let that one sit on the floor.
I mean, we want to move forward with Andy's misconception of what his doctor is doing around his scrot.
Oh, jeez.
And being confused.
This is what a urologist does, dude.
It's a really great.
Someone's desperate. Very right? desperate.
But and I mean, but that's another one too. Like I'm sure that's happened. You know.
Yeah.
I will never.
How many thousands, hundreds of thousands of sexual harassment mm-hmm. claims have gone against physicians or you know like patients like.
And I feel like. Once this show found its groove, there had to be conversations about how far can you throw the mirror on people here.
They're really going hard in this
Sometimes
episode,
they do. And
yeah, I think they do back off pretty significantly once Donna's arc wraps up, though.
Yeah, they're setting up Michael and how far will he go, you know, how low will he go, you know, in
It's true,
you
yeah.
know, like, I'm just thinking about that now, like,
because the whole
the
like
next few episodes
her cheating on her husband with him that's they really the office kind of turns on him
oh they do and he's
rightfully
he, him convincing himself he's just going to do what he wants and
so maybe there was a
this is sort of a this is a setup
this is
I would
like
say
the dark mark my, the dark Michael arc
it's
you know? This is
you know,
the darkest
like
timeline sorry that is a Community reference on an Office reference sorry
hell yeah no we're gonna save but that for a, our next it, podcast
it's very apropos
you know
I mean
Community Bulletin
having not watched Community just the line
you haven't watched Community
no
watch my podcast
oh boy
I gotta watch it like four times
and Jake might join on that one
yeah you and Jake got time
y'all wanna start a podcast
yeah you wanna join y'all take the lead on this I'm out of time in the day
maybe I don't know
no I understand what you're saying though like this is a really, I think, significant point in Michael's story arc, just in general, to see truly how far he will go down and then have to pick himself back up.
Because the loneliness and horniness, let's not...
absolutely.
Not as mad.
It's like the dark side is rising. You know, like, and we're getting there, and you know, he misses Holly. We still know... The Holly thing is still hanging there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... How is he gonna lose himself forever and you know go down the path of depravity? We'll see.
Yeah,
I mean, but also that's a real mistake that people make in real life. So it's just it's not unrealistic that somebody would get into this relationship not knowing and then stay in the relationship for a period of time.
Mm-hmm. They don't get into some of the. There's a little bit of therapy here. You know, therapy discussion here about what is, you know, kind of held back in the mind and how it is enacted down the road, you know, as people don't deal with their feelings. Mm-hmm. And that stuff's not said out loud for various reasons. One is that it's hard to explain. And two is that it can be incredibly boring. we're trying to make good television here. Although wasn't he in a show where he's a therapist also was that one with Jason never mind
I don't know but I'm just thinking back
I'm
to
misremembering
I'm just thinking back to Phyllis she keeps it simple
yeah
and this is sort
knows
of
who she is
well she knows who Michael is he has a lot of issues and he's stupid
that's absolutely true
and yet in this crazy you know implausible world we still you know connect with the like him on a sort of we still sympathize he's, with him on a certain level because he's sad and they've set that up with the things with Pam and you know on the trip when he visited Nashua so we've got that connection
I do want to highlight that after happy hour Kevin did a full reverse in being like the worst
how so
because he was
happy hour screaming
yes I know he was definitely the worst there
but he when Michael has his group in the kitchen, and he's like asking them advice. Kevin's like, maybe not.
Well, and I think it's almost all of them. I think it's just Pam.
Yeah, it's just Pam.
And yeah, because even Andy's like, Pam is the only one who, because she has her perception, with being a new mom, she can see something. And she's right. If you think about it logically, she would have left by now.
Yeah. I mean, she says it's unlikely, but not impossible.
Exactly.
And that's not necessarily like egging him on, but he's that's my choice. That one.
I'd put a very unlikely on there, but
the problem with it is, and why this works, is this is very much a problem most people have heard, where they just cannot read the signals well enough to know what's happening.
Right.
And as much as you weigh the ones that are like, no, obviously not. You're reading this one, like, maybe, could be, possibly. Wait, I think it is, you know, and it's just that simple.
But Kevin, he was being a little bit less.
He's not being a creep today.
He's not being a creep today. He's not like, don't floor him, Marco.
No. I'm stuck on. He was just putting his, putting his moves,
That was a funny bit. Yeah.
Like that. He was doing to himself.
That was such a great bit, though, of watching The Office kind of back and forth analyze everything as they're all just staring through the windows. All that was missing from this episode is a scene in the conference room where Michael and Donna suddenly like look out to see everyone looking at them.
Everybody's just staring at them and just like, Kevin's doing this.
The only problem is it
while they're oozing sexuality?
Oh,
but
moments.
But there's always one great Creed line in every episode.
There was a great Creed putt moment that I heard on Office Ladies. They played it. And evidently, when Donna shows up, Creed is, I think he's hiding or he's not visible. And the reason is, they go back to his, he does a full-on talking head about it. Creed dined and dashed at Sid and Dexter's. Mm-hmm. Where Donna manages.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he goes, but he's like, you know, sometimes, you know, most time they don't follow you to your work.
Yeah.
It's part of the,
he's so paranoid. It's part of the bit.
It's just part of it. It's the way it goes. So she didn't call him out. If Donna knew about it, she didn't call out Creed, which is probably for the best.
That wasn't her focus. Her focus was flirting with Michael and getting a cheaper printer.
Exactly.
Well, and of course, the you know, as much as bad as he gets in this episode with the cringe, especially in that final scene before she leaves the office, I guess it's all fine because we come to learn that she legitimately was interested this whole time. And
that marriage is in trouble, man.
The way that she kind of pulls him into that kiss, like, she's okay.
Yeah. Also,
he was right.
No,
he
was right.
I also feel like his most redeeming moment is not that. It is when he comes back in and tells them and nobody believes him.
Yes. That's such a great continuing on the whole thing of them not believing she was into him.
Because he still has the beret.
Such a great sight.
Didn't even notice that.
Yeah. He's like, I gave her beret back. And in his hand.
Really?
Hey, that's what keeps the skepticism alive.
Yeah, no, it's fair that they don't believe him, but it also really sad.
Here's my card. Damn. Take my card back. I can't host this show.
I'm sorry.
Alyssa, do you mind?
Paper podcast.
Sure.
See, just remember, that's one of the beauties of this show. You watch it 585 times, and on that 586th one, you still see something
different. Even the most obvious part of the joke as written. By the right.
You think you were still amazed that he was actually right. Yeah. You hadn't gotten over that one.
I was shocked. I was still because I was high-fiving everyone in the room. We did it.
I think legitimately of all his romantic partners, she is probably the prettiest.
Her and Jan. Wow. Definitely.
You think she beats out Jan?
Man.
Personally.
Probably.
Yeah, fucking Carol hears it through.
I don't have a problem with Carol. I love Holly, but I think
that's Steve Carell's wife. No. That's respect.
I think
she's up there.
She's like
with you,
really up there as far
I
as
I love
looks.
How none of us say anything about Holly's.
but
that was the apologist. I love Holly. That was like, and Holly's also
she's
here.
She's supposedly Baker hot. I don't know.
Which is so funny because she's a beautiful woman. Somewhere. I would 100%
beautiful women. They're all beautiful women.
No, I like the meme or whatever where it's like, what is it about Donna?
She oozes sexuality.
The eye makeup?
The boob shirt?
The boob shirt?
The cutouts on those.
But not pus.
The subtlety of those cutouts on her shoulders.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Oh my goodness.
I just think from like a female perspective, I think she's probably up there as far as looks for the people he dates.
Who brought it? Did you bring it up or did you bring it up?
No, I did.
That was it. Thank you. Thank you for not.
Just waiting.
The immediate...
Well, with all due respect to Pam's mom, by the way.
Good God. I'm so sorry, Helene.
But
beautiful woman.
Beautiful.
Ultimately, her level of like attractiveness also like leans Michael into the creepy behavior.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
Okay, that's what it is, yeah.
It can lead you astray.
Yeah,
okay.
Because this beautiful woman is like, she's here, I'm making these jokes, she's not running away from me.
No, mm-hmm. making them back sometimes. Yeah.
She's being flirty, I think.
Yeah.
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 So I can push this boundary further.
Yep. She hasn't. God, Michael, what do you want her to do? Like, you know, blow a rape whistle or something? Seriously.
Right, yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
What's the line? Yeah, maybe, probably not. She got to tase your ass? I mean, like, what's the fucking line?
But that's and really got to give it up to our actress's name, Amy Peetz, does a fantastic job.
Fantastic.
She is playing a multifaceted character in a very short span of time, you know?
And she fits well into this crazy world.
Yes.
As someone who is...
Cheating on her husband.
Yeah. But like, you know, also very self-deluded, somewhat, at least self-deluded, because she's trying to say she's in her, you know, it's a reality show, but she's trying to say she's late 20s.
You know, Well, so. I gotta say that talking head does a ton for her.
It
really adds so much to her in the scene and really kind of cements her. It's like, oh, we're in this for a minute. And this is this is a 4-episode arc full on?
Probably.
I think there's 2 more. Yeah. So 4. Yeah. Right.
It makes it.
You know, she sells it. She sells it because it's hard. I mean, it's amazing. That's a testament to the writers in the show and the actors. It's hard. I think it would be really hard to bring in new characters and make them work amongst the cast and in these crazy situations. But damn it, do they do it? I mean,
yeah, they really do.
You could say in the later seasons, maybe not so well, but
some are better than others.
Currently, right now, we got Aaron. Aaron was newer a while ago, but we got Gabe. We got Donna. I mean,
at some point
Joe.
We'll have Pete at some point. We'll have Pete. Pete's a great character.
Pete and Clark coming in later on. So, I mean, I think she's just a great one of the better examples of a new character really working. Even Charles Minor.
Yeah.
I think she's a great opposite to Holly.
Yes,
sure. Yeah.
Except she's like she's kind of like, it's like the angel devil thing.
Yeah,
like someone like for Michael.
Holly is like the fun loving, quirky improv dork, and Donna is the like super sexual. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, and their like hair color is completely opposite too.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she's a great contrast.
Is there something about
same like Isabel was a great contrast to Angela in height and hair color and mannerisms and everything.
Yeah. Point. I'd never noticed that.
I like that.
They kind of do use that. They use color.
Bit of seeing their strings, though. Just
get a brunette, you know?
They like a blonde, get a brunette.
Yeah, or black hair or whatever it is, yeah.
Well, and Michael had it. I mean, that's true. Like,
he didn't have a type. He's bringing type for
him. Is he just blonde?
Well,
up until Donna?
Yes, because there's the meme where they show all of them.
Chair girl.
Oh, right.
True.
She was brunette. She was brunette. So, but most of them are blonde, and then they show Ryan with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
That's a popular, that's a funny meme I see. But the opposites, you're right. Yeah. Cheer Girl and Donna.
Yeah.
With the brunette. And all right, interesting.
I don't know, man. I think Michael just likes whoever's smiling back, you know?
Yeah.
But, he likes attention. And
yeah.
We know what he likes. He's going to get to that in the next episode.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I think Jim's face of horror is just one of the funniest things towards the end of this episode. He's just like, what is happening right now? And that's the most non-straight man Jim, I think, has been in a while.
I think,
and it's the most that we've really watched the cast be like actively concerned for Michael's behavior, you know? And I think maybe that's kind of leans into why they're, because I mean, you know, obviously the situation to happen with Donna's husband is very serious, but I always thought it was interesting, you know, how much the office was really like together caring about this person off screen, you know.
I think that's part of the reason this feels most like season one Michael
versus later, because he's
evolving.
He's
reversing course on all like the good development
yeah,
that the cast, like the office, like employees are like,
they're watching him go backwards.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
isn't good.
Yeah. This is, there's a lot this of bad
feels,
avenues.
But this feels bad.
This
like
is going to levels that we that we haven't that are lower than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
And I think actually you're talking about Jim and his, you know, outrage. I think having him as previously as a manager as well.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. think that helps like him being the one who's like, no, like,
oh, he does have a kind of sense sort of trying that, to like get things back on track.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? I think that kind of lends to, you know, terrible manager. Well, but,
and
you know,
hey, good on the men of this episode for speaking up on what is perceived bad behavior.
You know? I agree.
I appreciate that as a woman of like, yeah. Hey, at least not all men.
Yeah. Cast of the Office, we salute you.
The writers, we salute you.
Notice that they left Ryan out of all those scenes. So
it's really hit me right now. How many?
He's only in like one scene.
Yeah, he's only in the scene with Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was in the writer's room on this one.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I also bet
anything
that they were like
involving Mindy. Well, I would say back to Justin Spitzer. Thank you for writing this episode. He's the one who wrote
excellent.
It. But anyway, we're going to say, I'm sorry.
Well, also Ryan, like an episode or two ago, was acting real creeper. So like,
they can't have him
being like, no, Michael, you're doing the wrong thing here. When they, you know, they had him perving like just.
Oh, they wouldn't.
But they'll kind of get to that later on.
Right.
So in later episodes.
I think we've touched on just about everything. Any scenes we've missed so far today?
Just about. I should say just for everyone here, namaste. Namaste.
The transformation of Kelly. Like halfway through.
So
speaking of manipulative, really going hard in the paint for her ethnicity.
I have one more. I truly think that Michael was not actually thinking. Michael thought the movie Rudy was Waterboy.
If he was rejected. Interesting.
That's funny.
Because he talks, he's like, it wasn't funny.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, Rudy really wasn't that funny. Like, what are you talking about, man? Like, I like that. And he was rejected more than twice.
I think he was thinking Rudy was Waterboy and was very confused.
I'm with you there. I'm with you.
Likewise, I legitimately believe Michael would give away a Victoria's Secret catalog to a woman just thinking it would be useful to her.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, it's a timely subject, Hilton.
Yeah, like
it ends in May.
Well, yeah. That's I 100%
took it and she's like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she has a great face acting moment in that when she's just kind of like she kind of throws her hands up like, well, of course I want one, yes. And where Pam is just like, and Pam's right across from her and she's just kind of like, what?
Well,
it's a great dichotomy.
She says it in the talking head about working in the restaurant industry, but she showed it way before then. Like, and I got strong, like, oh, this girl's played the game. Like she's dealt with this shit.
Right,
you know?
Right. Hey, she's hustling for
the printer deals.
The printer deals and oh. Good on. I like Oscar when Michael's like, maybe get some wiggle room.
Yeah.
And then Oscar's like, I think it would be better if we made money. I crunched the numbers.
Crunched the numbers. And I think in this situation, making money is best.
Well, and I love that he just went ahead and adopted the way Michael talks about things. He's like, oh, this is how I can explain it to you?
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. When he's talking about like the lemonade stand,
yeah,
he like, applies the same sort of tactics here.
Yeah, he knows how Michael speaks about money. That's why he crunched the numbers, you know.
Yeah, no, I think ultimately, if Holly were to have been in the office and there wouldn't have been a relationship with her and Michael, and she was still HR, she would have been like, no, no, no.
Oh God.
No.
Wait, is Toby in this episode at all?
Yeah,
he's not.
They could. Maybe it's in the deleted. I got to go back. Oh,
maybe.
I feel bad about that. But the.
I mean,
we should have. We needed a scene where there's like he's on vacation this week, or he's back in Costa Rica or something. You know.
We couldn't stay away.
You know.
Or
I hadn't thought about that.
No, screen strangler hasn't been caught yet, so he's not in the jury.
Oh no! We still have that awesome opening coming up. I think next got to be next season.
Toby is. Suspiciously missing.
Oh, but I saw.
But then he visits him in prison.
I had a good friend of mine who sent me a tech. Who?
He thought he got it wrong though.
That's true. Yeah.
It's Gabe. It's Gabe, totally it's Gabe. Yeah, because they don't talk about Scranton Strangler until Gabe shows up.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's Gabe the bit
around,
that I heard on
is
Reddit.
Is Gabe around?
He's not around for the chase. He's not around.
No,
for
is,
the chase,
is Gabe yeah. around for
no,
when Cece's born?
No, he is not.
Oh, okay. So
he is not.
But then he comes to
because
the
he was still
Saber's
new
after
to the office.
Delivery.
It's still kind of. I thought about that.
Oh
when
no,
they
Saber's
were doing
before
it.
The delivery.
It was Saber was before the delivery. Yeah. Yes.
I and still stand by the theory that Toby's a Scranton Strangler every day.
Could be.
You know there are other people in Scranton.
Yeah.
Besides the. For 15,
the Scranton Strangler car is also in the parking lot.
There's like five companies in that building.
I have to say that I was wondering.
Or it's Bob Vance.
It's Vance Refrigeration.
I have to say, if the Scranton Strangler came in, it was attacking me, I would definitely be at a disadvantage because I never wore my flip phone on the outside of my pants.
Like a dork.
No. It's very good. I was more in Kelly's camp. Just put it in my pocket.
My dad has one clip thing, and I'm just like, can just put it in your pocket.
Sorry, and I can understand.
Almost every IT person I would see kind of, and I'm just saying, that's what I, in my limited experience.
I don't know. I work with someone from IT.
Yeah. But this is early 2000s.
And he doesn't do that.
Yeah. I think
it's a new day and age.
Not everyone does it, but I think that is for like certain industries, there's like a thing. Like I
simply just Indian men as well. According to Kelly.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean,
apparently
all of them.
Yeah.
Most of them. Well, at least the ones that her parents are trying to get her to marry.
Surely not the doctor that she ends up dating later.
Robbie? Right. No.
No, Robbie doesn't. Nice. No, that's true. Kelly's Ryan's advice, not only is Ryan diabolical, he's filling Kelly's head with how to respond to, do you feel you're being treated differently because of your race?
Yeah.
You asked me that if I was white, as a catch all answer.
I love. Doesn't she immediately follow with like, "I'm gonna.
We're
so good.
We're
yeah.
so in.
Yeah.
Okay. See, this is the real diabolical plot that we never saw coming.
Yeah,
and
it was.
It's kind of. I don't know.
It wasn't quite at all.
Dwight didn't see coming.
Yeah.
Dwight didn't see coming. Everyone could see it coming from Ryan a mile away.
How could he though? He was reanimating that pole. Come
on. Yeah. Surviving cholera.
I love the look on Rain. His eyes, his thousand-yard stare when he thinks it, when he says that,
yeah.
It's just because he looks kind of a little off camera, like so exasperated.
That really makes me feel like he's just trying to be Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's got a great Igor and Moe's. So
this is true.
But yeah, I mean,
I need that.
We all
episode.
Need an Igor. In
I
our
need life. No. I need just that episode.
Dr. Dwightenstein.
Oh,
Dr. Schrute.
Yeah,
is that the spinoff they should have gone for?
Schrute's monster. Hell
reanimating
yeah.
animals at the farm.
Yes. Oh my god, that would have been the farm spinoff we needed. Forget this sister and nephew we've never met before. Give me the island of Dr. Moreau in a Pennsylvania countryside.
Do we need
like Dickie in the Brain?
Yes.
Totally.
Do we need his brother who farms for what, worms or what is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Goodness. Maybe. I mean, we could have had all those crazy characters.
We'll keep him on
later.
The drawing board.
Like
season two, maybe.
Badger from Breaking Bad.
He's the cousin Uncle Billy.
He's the taller one.
Halfway through the first season of Gemstones.
I can't remember. I can't. He has so many. There's
maybe
there's,
Uncle Billy. I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm crossing so many universes. I'm beginning to lose it.
I think we got to wrap this one up.
I think we got to wrap it up because
we're like an hour and some odd in.
It's a lot to talk about.
Good time. This is such a fun episode.
That was a fun episode.
Really,
I
didn't
there was
have
so
many,
much cringe.
I didn't have as many notes as I did from Happy Hour, but there's just a lot more to talk about.
There really is. We touched on a lot of important issues and
learned a lot of tricks.
We dodged so many landmines.
We almost talk about immigration.
Yeah,
we almost.
Yeah,
there's Mexico.
I held my arms together for the to make my boobs look bigger the entire second half of the episode.
That was the worst of it.
Yeah. Alyssa, thanks so much for being back on.
Thank you. Thank
you.
To
be here.
You going to finish out the arc with us?
Of course.
All right.
So much.
Thank you. We'll have you back on real soon to follow up with the cover up. And then we got the chumps coming up after that.
You know it.
And then I think we wrap up season six with Whistleblower then. And finally, we can put this roller coaster of a season to bed.
And then get ready for Michael's departure.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not.
Not ready at all.
Yeah,
not ready.
Not ready for D'Angelo Vickers.
Mm. All that was more than a decade ago. I still haven't killed.
He still hasn't processed it.
No, we're getting through therapy though. Yeah. Thank you again.
All right.
Thank you.
Brian, thank you so much.
Muchas gracias.
And I want to thank all of you for listening to the People vs. Paper podcast. We always have so much fun that I don't even know what I'm saying. See you next
time. See you next time.
Hasta luego.
The People Persons Paper Podcast is an OLA Ministries production. Hola. The People Persons Paper Podcast is produced by Hilton Price and Brian Sittler. Engineering by Hilton Price. OLA Ministries is owned and operated by OLA Ministries, LLC. Contact Hilton Price and Michael Zampino for more information.